You are listening to Rio Bravo Q Week podcast, your weekly dose of knowledge brought to you by the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program in Bakersfield, California, a UCLA-affiliated program sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista. Let us be your healthcare home. This podcast was created for educational purposes only. Visit your primary care provider for additional medical advice.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Rio Bravo Q Week. My name is Hector Arias. I'm a faculty member of the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program. And today we're going to be presenting episode 165. And I'm very glad that Dr. Kuhner is with us again. So this is his third episode. So welcome, Dr. Kuhner. If anybody hasn't listened to the previous episode about early onset sepsis, I recommend that you go and listen to that episode too, because we gave very important information, but today is going to be part two. So, Dr. Kuhner, can you let us know who you are again?
And thank you, Dr. Ariaza. I'm Dr. Lovedeep Kuhner, finishing up my intern year here at the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Program in Bakersfield.
Yeah, and as a recap for this episode, so the previous episode, we talked about early onset sepsis. And just as a recap, it's diagnosed within 72 hours or within 7 days, according to some experts, after birth. We talked about GBS as the main culprit of EOS, and 28% of EOS by GBS are babies born before 37 weeks of age, and mortality rate is 19% at that age, so a very high mortality rate. So term infant mortality is about 2%, so it's significantly less. And EOS has decreased from 0.37 cases in 1,000 live births in 2006 to 0.23 cases per 1,000 live births in 2015. So there is a decrease, fortunately. And an interesting fact is that meningitis is diagnosed in 10% of the babies with EOS, and 9% of those babies do not have bacteremia, so which is very interesting, right? We usually think, okay, if the patient has sepsis, there has to be a bacteremia, but sometimes, 9% of those babies do not have bacteremia. So, but today we're going to dig deeper into the management by using online tools. Particularly, we're going to be talking about the Kaiser Permanente Neonatal EOS Calculator. So, Dr. Kuhner, so tell us about this calculator. Where is it?
Yeah, it is a multivariate risk assessment tool that guides us in the management of neonatal early onset sepsis. The Kaiser Permanente, or also known as KP, neonatal EOS calculator combines two predictive models. One model is based on risk factors known at birth, and the other model is based on the newborn clinical condition during the early hours after birth. The risk factors are gestational age, highest maternal antepartum temperature, maternal GBS status, duration of rupture of membranes, and antibiotics, type and duration. If this sounds familiar, it is. It's mostly the same information used in the categorical risk assessment, except substituting maternal highest antepartum temperature for chorioamnionitis diagnosis. This information is input into the calculator, and two values are obtained. The first value is the EOS risk at birth. The second value is the EOS risk after the clinical exam. The clinical exam is broken down into well-appearing, equivocal, and clinical illness.
In a previous episode, we mentioned also that hypoglycemia is not a good indicator of EOS because it's not. It's not a good indicator. So let's talk about the criteria for a well-appearing baby according to the Kaiser Permanente tool.
Yes. In a few words, well-appearing means no persistent physiological abnormalities, whereas equivocal means tachy, temp, and respirations. That's how I remembered it, Dr. Ariaza. Tachycardia, tachypnea, temperature instability, and respiratory distress. So you need to have persistent physiological abnormality for more than 4 hours. One of the following of tachy, temp, or respiratory distress. The tachycardia is a heart rate over 160, tachypnea is respiratory rate over 60, temperature instability is more than or equal to 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or less than 97.5 degrees Fahrenheit, with respiratory distress meaning grunting, flaring, or retracting, that does not require supplemental oxygen. So you can have one of these for 4 hours, or two or more of these physiological abnormalities lasting for more than or equal to 2 hours.
Okay, so, and also you say that abnormality can be intermittent as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the equivocal, and I can say that word, equivocal.
So the clinical illness in the Kaiser Permanente tool, it's defined as persistent need for nasal CPAP, high flow nasal cannula, mechanical ventilation outside the delivery room, hemodynamic instability requiring vasoactive medications, neonatal encephalopathy, perinatal depression such as seizure or Apgar score at 5 minutes of less than 5, or need for supplemental oxygen for more than or equal to 2 hours to maintain oxygen saturation more than 90% outside the delivery room.
So that means that, I mean, it seems like a very sick baby. So when they are in the category of clinical illness. So, and then what happens after we input all this information in the calculator?
Magic happens, Dr. Arriaza.
I love that.
Well, so after all that information is entered into the KP calculator, the options for management are clinical monitoring, laboratory evaluation, or antibiotic administration.
Okay, so let's play a little game here, Dr. Kuhner. So let's have a hypothetical patient. So, and I'm going to give you the information, and then you can give me the result, okay? So let's, I have the KP calculator in front of me here. So the incidence, we're going to choose the 0.5 in 1,000 live births, which is the CDC standard, right?
Correct.
So the gestational age, we're going to give it 36 weeks and 6 days. Okay? So we're inputting that in the calculator. So the highest maternal antepartum temperature was 102 Fahrenheit. The rupture of membrane was 5 hours, and the maternal GBS is positive. So the intrapartum antibiotics, they were given 3 hours prior to birth, and the result, after we put all this in the calculator, the result is EOS risk at birth is 2.34. And now you can break it up by physical exam, Dr. Kuhner. What do we get there?
So if there's a well-appearing baby, the risk is 0.96 with recommendations of no culture, no antibiotics, and vitals every 4 hours for 24 hours. If it's equivocal, remember, tachy, temp, and respirations, the risk is 11.61 with recommendations to start empiric antibiotics and send the baby to the NICU. Clinical illness has a risk of 47.46 and also indicates to start empiric antibiotics with vitals per the NICU.
Okay, so basically when it's equivocal or clinical illness in this particular patient, basically the recommendations were the same, right?
Yeah.
So, and the Kaiser Permanente Neonatal Early Onset Sepsis Calculator was analyzed in a meta-analysis as published in the American Family Physician in 2021. So 6 high-quality, non-randomized controlled trials were evaluated, including more than 170,000 neonates. So the calculator was compared to the standard approach recommended by the CDC guidelines.
Yeah, the analysis showed there was the statistically significant reduction in antibiotic use, a reduction in the number of laboratory tests, and a reduction in NICU admissions in neonates who were managed following the sepsis calculator compared with the standard approach.
And there was no difference in readmission rates to NICU, and no difference in culture-positive sepsis between neonates treated using the sepsis calculator and those treated with the standard approach. So in summary, I personally recommend using the Kaiser Permanente calculator as part of your evaluation. And by the way, I received no money from Kaiser Permanente.
I also recommend it, Dr. Arriaza. And I also did not receive any money from Kaiser Permanente. It is also important to know that depending on the resources available and the institutional policies in place, your management of EOS management may change.
Yes. And Dr. Kuhner, you mentioned as part of your preparation that you read something about inflammatory markers. So I just want to give a little introduction about the CBC interpretation in neonates. Remember that CBC, or complete blood count, in newborns needs to be evaluated following the normal parameters for neonates. For example, a white count up to 30,000 and a hemoglobin up to 19.9 can be normal in neonates.
Yeah, well, serial white blood cell counts and immature to total neutrophil ratio, the IT ratio, generally greater than or equal to 0.2 by some experts is considered associated with sepsis. Complete blood cell counts taken 12 to 24 hours after birth are associated with increased sensitivity and negative predictive value compared to sample taken 1 to 7 hours after birth. However, it's also important to note that no single value of an IT ratio should manage your care. It's a tool to help assess. C-reactive protein, CRP, is also often used, and it rises within 6 hours of infection and peaks at 24 hours. Two normal CRP levels, one taken between 8 to 24 hours of age, and the second 24 hours later, have an over 99% negative predictive value. Single values of CRP or procalcitonin obtained after birth to assess the risk of EOS are neither sensitive nor specific to guide EOS care decisions.
Okay, so I heard you mention procalcitonin, right? So what do you find about procalcitonin?
Almighty procalcitonin. It may be difficult to interpret within the first 3 days after birth due to elevations caused by non-infectious etiologies and the physiological rise after birth. It is important to note that neither single values of CRP nor procalcitonin after birth should be used to guide the management plan of infants undergoing evaluations for EOS. Now, these next values are not actual guidelines, but there were some important numbers that I found very interesting during the research. Extreme values, like total WBC count less than 5,000, an IT ratio of more than 0.3, or an absolute neutrophil count of less than 2,000 in one study, and a WBC of less than 1,000, ANC of less than 100, and an IET ratio of more than 0.5 in the other study were both associated with the highest likelihood ratios, but very low sensitivities. Again, those are not guidelines, but may guide us in the future.
So extreme values are important. So let's talk about cultures and lab tests. So culture results are used to confirm suspected sepsis, but you must not wait for the result to start treatment, like we mentioned before, with empiric broad-spectrum antibiotics in newborns suspected to have sepsis.
Yeah, for the treatment, the recommended empirical antibiotic regimen for most at-risk infants for early-onset sepsis involves combining ampicillin and gentamicin, amp and gent. In the case of critically ill-term infants, the empirical use of additional broad-spectrum agents may be warranted until culture results are available and an appropriate treatment plan can be determined. In areas with E. coli highly resistant to ampicillin, carbapenem should be considered. When blood cultures are sterile, antibiotic therapy should be discontinued by 36 to 48 hours of incubation unless there is clear evidence of site-specific infection.
Yes, I agree. And as a reminder, antibiotic resistance is one of the most feared threats to humanity. So there's a threat, of course, an alien invasion. There's a threat of a nuclear bomb. But there is the threat of antibiotic resistance that can kill all of us. So that's why we shouldn't use them for everyone, right?
Yeah, there's a joke that says that nothing scares a microbiologist more than Pseudomonas that is multi-drug resistant.
Definitely, I agree.
But there are also some more current issues that may have been found. In retrospective studies primarily focused on term infants, researchers have associated early antibiotic administration with elevated risks of various health issues in later childhood, including wheezing, asthma, food allergy, inflammatory bowel disease, and even childhood obesity.
Yep, and we mentioned that joke in the previous episode, but we see that early introduction of antibiotics can be very detrimental for the health of a person. So, Dr. Kuhner, so it's been great discussing early onset sepsis with you. So can you give us some conclusion to wrap up this episode?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Ariaza. So the guidelines aren't very, very strict because there are so many tools. So it's important to understand how to assess a newborn infant's risk of EOS. understand how to determine which steps should be taken at particular levels of risk, including the timely administration of empirical broad-spectrum antibiotic therapy. Understand how to decide when to discontinue empirical antibiotic therapy, and also consistently normal values of CRP and procalcitonin over the first 48 hours of age are associated with the absence of EOS, but serial abnormal values alone should not be used to decide whether to administer antibiotics in the absence of culture-confirmed infection.
Okay, thank you. That's a great way to finish this episode. And thank you so much again, Dr. Kuhner. I hope you are enjoying your residency. And it seems like you really enjoyed your pediatrics residency.
It was a blast. It was one of the most challenging. It was my first rotation of the year. And I really struggled with EOS just because my different attendings approached it differently by using the different tools. What that did was it allowed me to dig deeper and really understand what was going on. And when I understood that there were these different tools, you can use them differently. And when I look forward to when I will be treating empirically for EOS, none of the values given or even the algorithms take it to zero. So I believe it's going to be very important to use my clinical judgment and not only the KPEOS calculator, but also all the tools available to try to get that number to zero, if not as close to zero as possible.
Very good. Thank you guys for listening. Please stay tuned in for the next episode. Thank you.
Now, we conclude episode number 165, Early Onset Sepsis Part 2. Dr. Kuhner explained the elements of the Kaiser Permanente Early Onset Sepsis Calculator available online for free. Dr. Arreaza provided insights on the usefulness of this tool. Some other markers, such as CBC, CRP, and procalcitonin, were also explained. This week, we thank Hector Arreaza and Lovedip Kuhner. Audio editing by Adrian Silva.
Even without trying, every night you go to bed a little wiser. Thanks for listening to Rio Bravo Q Week podcast. We want to hear from you. Send us an email at riobravoqweek@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website, riobravofmrp.org/qweek. See you next week.